Yes, it's that time of the week, and I'm joined by Cheryl Shaw and Dr. Fiona Giblin. Good afternoon.
How are you, Amanda?
Good, hi. Thank you. Now, Cheryl, you've got a big smiley face on your shirt today, a big pin. So we're talking about smiles?
Smiles. Look, when you smile at me, I smile back. But, you know, some dogs do that as well. So we'll be talking about smiling with dogs.
Sounds good to me. Not teeth, just general smiles.
Oh, they do smile with their teeth as well. Very good.
What about gummy smiles?
Ooh. You have to find out. I have to wait, tune in and find out, Amanda.
Okay. At the moment, we are going to talk about smiles, Cheryl.
Yes, we are. And it's interesting with smiling because when we smile, we know it makes us feel happy. What it actually does, the neurotransmitters in our brain release a whole lot of things that make us feel great. And, you know, we just get that, oh, I feel great. You look at me, I look at you, and you smile. Now, what's actually happened, as we've started to as we have been domesticating dogs, dogs have learnt to do things from our body language. So they're reading our facial expression all of the time. And what has happened with the dogs, they're mimicking, or some dogs, not all dogs, some dogs, the very intelligent ones, are mimicking some of our facial expressions. So I know for me, when I come home from work or if I've been away, my dog does a downward bow, like a yoga position, and he smiles at us. And we always say, oh, that's so lovely. But the other dog copies him, but she doesn't smile. So she'll do the bow, but not the smile. So we know that dogs have learnt to, what they say is that it's... mimicking, copying our commissure. So when we smile, we change the shape of our mouth and we give an expression that's really happy. And so the dogs have learnt that they want to appease us, they want to make us happy. So they copy that same behaviour. And so not all dogs smile, as you were saying, Amanda, about the gummy smile. Some dogs will actually smile, but they smile differently. Some dogs will smile, and particularly dogs that have a predisposition genetically, like Aussie Shepherds, Dobermans, they are smiling with their teeth. So some dogs will smile and they'll lift their lips and their forehead at the same time, and the commissure of their mouth will alter. But other dogs will smile showing their teeth. So those Aussie Shepherds, the Doberman, they do this little lift the lip and it looks a little bit, oh, is that friendly or not? Have you noticed that at work?
Yeah, yeah. And people say, oh, my dog smiles. And some of them are very cute. And as you say, it's not that they know what a smile is, but they know that if they do it, they get a positive reaction. Or as you say, they're mimicking their owners, which is pretty cute.
Yeah, and I think it is really cute. But so they try to appease us, and that's the thing. And they'll do it when they are getting praise or patted or a treat. They'll do it if they're feeling really good. Some dogs just feel really good. You know those little dogs that they lay on their back and you rub their tummy and you just watch their expression alter. You know, their whole facial structure changes. They become relaxed in their muscles, and it's just a nice thing. But we do need to be mindful that when we are looking at a dog and we think it's smiling, to make sure it actually is a happy dog, because there's sometimes a dog may be feeling a little bit anxious and it may appear that it's smiling. It may have that sort of sideways, like, you know, I've got my lips sideways. And you need to read the whole dog. So when you're looking at a dog, don't just think, oh, the dog's smiling, it's really happy to see me. Look over the entire dog. So is its hackles up, or is its, you know, is it hair on its back sitting up? What's its tail doing? Just because a dog's tail is wagging, it doesn't actually mean it's happy. You know, often people will say, oh, the dog's tail's wagging. That's just arousal. Sometimes it's wagging because it's happy, but other times it's wagging because it's about to attack.
Oh.
So you do need to make sure that you look over the entire dog. Don't just think, oh, my dog's smiling at somebody or at me. It may be that it's a bit aroused or a little bit anxious about something. But yeah, dogs do look at our facial expressions and they do mimic our smiling.
There you go. And maybe that's why sometimes dogs look like their owners. Or is that a whole different...
I feel like that's a topic for another day.
Okay. Maybe next week.
Some dogs actually look like they're smiling all the time. I mean, the smiley dog that comes to mind straight away is the Samoyed. They're called the smiley dog because the way their position of their mouth is, and they've got, you know, those really nice dark gums, their smile comes up, and so does a beagle. So beagles look a bit like a joker, you know, the way they smile. But if you get on Facebook and have a look at the great pictures of dogs smiling, you know, some have their tongues out and those big smiles that staffies have, you know, they're just so joyous and wonderful to look at.
Okay.
Very cute.
Very cute. Well, we've got Michelle on the line from New Lambton. Thanks for holding, Michelle. How can we help you?
The other week I missed the beginning of a conversation that someone had rung up and talked to the vet about canine papillomavirus.
Yeah. It wasn't me, Michelle, but I'm sure I can help.
Yeah. I have a rescue dog that before we got her, had chewed down to her skin, and a lot of follicles haven't even bothered to come back. We've had her 8 weeks, and she has a few warty things on her.
Yeah.
And she's quite an itchy girl. She's a cattle dog, just a blue cattle dog.
Okay.
She's quite an itchy girl, and I've got a feeling she's probably got that canine papillomavirus.
So, Michelle, are you thinking that she's itchy because of the papillomavirus?
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe a bit of stubble growing back. Yeah. So how dangerous is it?
Not at all is the short answer, Michelle. Okay. It is a self-limiting virus. It is very, it can be common in younger dogs, but it usually self-resolves by the age of about one or two. How old is your cattle, your rescue?
4.5.
Okay. I mean, there are other situations where dogs can get papillomavirus, but they, on the whole, certainly are not problematic. I would suspect she's itching more likely from allergy-related problems rather than from a papillomavirus, if that's what she's got. Have you sort of, are her feet infected or red, or what's the situation with them?
No, she's actually got black skin on like the back half of her body. From the back half of her back, very light hair, then nothing, and down the back of her pants, it's just skin.
Okay.
There's no hair and missing a bit. All round the tail, where you have that bit of fat at where the tail joins onto the body.
Yeah.
And the first bit of that is all bald. Actually, no follicles are growing back yet.
Okay. Sounds like we've definitely got some kind of chronic allergy skin issue going on there, Michelle.
Absolutely chewed. She was infested with fleas before we had her.
Yeah.
Wore her teeth down. She has no front. Top and bottom teeth.
Okay.
And canines are worn down.
Yeah.
So whether she's actually chewed those hair follicles and they won't come back, we don't know.
Yeah, sure. Look, it sounds like she's sort of had a bit of a chronic, you know, got chronic health issues or potentially a not so nice previous history. Has she been to the vet as part of the rescue situation?
She had, but the topic of her hair was just slightly covered. The vet wasn't sure whether it would grow back or not.
Okay.
But, you know, we moisturise and everything. And she's not allowed to chew or scratch.
Yeah, okay.
She has a little suit on most of the time to protect her.
Look, to give you a couple of tips moving forward, Michelle, definitely making sure she's on some kind of medicated shampoo rather than just an over-the-counter shampoo, something that
treats... She's on the Melisab.
Excellent. Fantastic. Yep. Yeah. I think, I mean, obviously without seeing her, Michelle, it's not, I can't be too sure, but definitely the Melisab shampoo will be really important. Also making sure you're using some kind of flea and tick prevention, whether that's the yearly injection or the monthly chew or 3 monthly chew, whatever it is that you're using, make sure you're keeping up to date with that. And if those things aren't enough to settle the chewing, she may need medication further. So my suggestion is if the regular preventions don't work and the shampoos don't work, to definitely have a chat to your vet about what else we can do for her.
Okay, good luck with that, Michelle. All the best. Next on the line, we have Marina from Raymond Terrace. You've got rabbits, Marina.
Hello, it's Lorena. Sorry, it's all right.
How can we help, Lorena?
Lorena, is it?
You're right. Yeah, Lorena.
Sorry.
I've got two indoor bunny rabbits.
Yes.
Help with needing. They were both taught, trained fine and everything. But now they're tending to like to go outside of toilets and everything.
Okay.
Around the outside of the actual toilet, like they're proper, like, you know, they, I go, they've got the low lip and everything like that, so they can jump into. The male tends to come up to the female and like harass her when she's trying to go to the toilet.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's like I need to separate them and torture train them individually again themselves. I'm not too sure. But just they like to go around the perimeter instead of actually in their litter box.
Okay. So how long have you had them, Lorena?
Probably going about 4 years. The male for about 4 years. Female probably about 2 years now.
And how long would you say you've been having difficulty?
Probably like within the like last year.
Okay. And are either of them D6, Lorena?
Yeah, both D6.
Excellent. Okay. Has anything changed that you can think of that would be sort of a behavioural reason that things would have changed with the toileting?
Well, I'm thinking because the male's always had his way, like the toilet's always been his way, like how he likes it. But with the female, I got her as a rescue bunny,
mm-hmm.
and she had her own like her own room cage and everything set up the way it was. So I'm not sure if it's just unfamiliarity for a while. Like if I have to like make actually an enclosure cage toilet area for him, or like a playpen toilet funds area.
Yeah, okay.
Or like sheltered, like should we have some sheltering for it? Like a cover over the top so like they feel not as exposed or something.
All right. And you're regularly cleaning whatever substrates in the toileting area? Yeah, okay. Look, it might be – oh, and also one more question. Can you tell if it's the male or the female going outside the litter area?
Both are going outside.
Both of them? So,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Look, if you've got the space and the time, I think separating them might well be a key to just decreasing stress-related stress-related reasons for not going. And, you know, they can still see each other and smell each other and maybe have a common wall or something like that. But if you know he's got his way of liking things and she's got her way of liking things, you might find that that just settles the anxiety and stress a little bit and, it might have success.
Yeah, because like they'll go on you put a bit of like try and think like the in the corner in a dark nice quiet area so it's not too you know like this and that not near their food or anything but I might try what you said to do try to maybe separate them up again and start from scratch in a way.
Yeah, I think that would be my suggestion to start with, Lorena. And unless they tell you otherwise, I'd give that a go. And
they'll get their own smell for their own like litter box themselves. And
yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm thinking. So
yeah, I reckon I'd give that a go, Lorena. And fingers crossed that you have some success with that.
Thanks for your call, Lorena. Appreciate it. I'll get your name right.
Well done. Thanks, Lorena.
Thank you. We have Anne from Aberglasson on the phone. Hi, Anne. How can we help you?
Oh, look, our 8-month-old pup, from what I can gather, because I've done a bit of Googling, is doing what they call picker. She just wants to eat any clothing. I've bought her the Kong toys and she's destroyed them to a point. And, I just don't know how to stop her apart from, you know, we've put everything up out of the way, but she still wants to. She's destroyed a pair of jeans, undies, put a big hole in a handkerchief, and just, you know, the pieces aren't still there. She's obviously eaten them.
Yeah, okay. Do you see material and things in her feces very often, Anne?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
And does she ever vomit them up?
No. No.
Oh, okay. No. So you feel it's definitely a fabric obsession? I mean, you've used the term pika, which is basically for our listeners, it's eating inappropriate things, non-food items, you know, soil, plants, rocks, clothes, those sorts of things. I'm assuming, Anne, she's on some kind of, you know, complete and balanced puppy food, is she?
Yes. Yep. Yes,
okay.
Yes, yes, yes. She is, yes.
So sometimes you get a nutritional deficiency, which is why they eat things inappropriately. In her case, it's much more likely to just be a puppy. I'm into everything. I've decided I like the feeling of that in my mouth. And I'm just going to try and find it wherever I can. And the main issue becomes, obviously, if she eats something she shouldn't, and then we get an obstruction and she needs surgery. That's sort of the main concern with it. Do you find, do you think she does it as sort of an anxiety thing, like if you've gone and she's trying to find something that smells like you, or what, have you sort of worked anything out?
No, because she's got a two-year-old auntie that lives with her. So they're quite, and they play together. They're quite happy.
Yes.
She goes for walks daily. We take them to the park.
Excellent. And she's got plenty of, as you say, Kongs and other type toys
She's got toys. She's wrecked the Kong, the latest Kong.
Excellent.
I just had to cut all the bits and pieces off that.
Yes.
When you say that, it's obviously a fabric obsession.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Apart from, we do have to keep everything off the ground.
Yeah.
Look, obviously.
To be honest, Anne, my advice really isn't anything more exciting than that. She's basically, think of it like a toddler. You know, toddlers put everything in their mouth. She's just a toddler. If she's provided with plenty of other mental and emotional or physical stimulation, which it sounds like she is, she's on an appropriate diet, which she is, it's about eliminating the access to those things as much as possible. And she will probably grow out of it. Most of them do improve with time. We get the odd real sort of chronic behaviour thing that sometimes needs medication, but really just being as vigilant as you can as an owner. Is my best suggestion, really.
Yeah, we've never really had it before, especially with the other pup. Well, she's not a pup now. Well, she's nearly two.
Yeah.
Her auntie. So she just loves fabric, obviously.
Yeah. Look, you know, it can sometimes be a bit of a ticking time bomb, man. You know, they do sometimes end up with a surgical obstruction. So just do everything you can to keep those things out the way.
Thanks very much for your call, Anne. Appreciate it. Next, we have Victoria from Raworth. Hi, Victoria. Have you got a snoring issue? Well, not you, but.
No, not me.
Tell me more, Victoria.
We have a 13-year-old miniature poodle, Rosie, and she has a little snore when she's sleeping in the daytime, but at night it's quite pronounced. Is that all right?
I'm going to throw back some more questions to you, Victoria. Has she always done it, or is it a new thing?
I would say it's probably in the last year or two.
Okay, and you notice it more at night than during the day?
Yes.
Okay. Any coughing or sort of spluttering associated with it?
No, just a good old snore.
Just the snore.
And I just wondered, you know, if that's normal for a pooch.
Yeah, look, not really, Victoria. Snoring is, much like with people, it is often an indicator of an anatomical change within the back of the mouth and sort of the back of the nose area.
Yes.
Usually in dogs, and with a poodle, she's not crossed with anything. She's just a pure poodle.
Not.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's probably got a fairly longish nose and snout. If we have a long, soft palate at the back of the mouth, it sort of vibrates as they breathe in and out, and that often can be the cause of snoring. If she's otherwise clinically well, she doesn't have any discharge from her nose, she's not coughing or sneezing or vomiting or anything else, it may just be as she's getting a bit older that things are getting a bit saggier maybe towards the back of her mouth. So if she's otherwise well in herself, I'm not super concerned, but the fact that we've had a change as she's gotten older, I think if it does continue to get worse, it might be better to have a vet check just to see if there's anything anatomical we can see, and the vet can have a feel of her lymph nodes in her throat and just sort of make sure there's no other concerning factors. So I guess short answer, no, it's not normal, but if you're worried, I think a check would be sensible.
Thank you very much for your advice. Do appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Victoria.
Thanks, Victoria. We have Shane from Fennel Bay on the line. Hi, Shane. How can we help you?
Oh, yeah. How are you going there today?
Good, thanks.
How can we help, Shane?
Yeah, I've got a 5-year-old Labradoodle. Beautiful dog, chocolate brown Labradoodle, really, really well behaved and well trained in most respects.
Yeah.
What she does, if we don't put our socks, clean or dirty socks, up, she goes and buries them all the time.
Okay.
and there's one other thing. I don't know if we're out and then we leave her at home, so she's an inside-outside dog sort of thing, mm-hmm. She'll get on the lounge cushions up on the backrest of the lounge, and squash one lounge cushion right down as far as she can get it.
Okay. Yeah, and is she eating it or just trying to push it further down the couch?
She doesn't really eat anything except toys that might have a squeaker, and she'll pull them apart to find the squeaker. That's about it.
Okay. So she likes burying things by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Well, no, not normally. It's mainly just socks.
Yeah. Actually, I can make a comment on that, Shane. She's probably got more poodle than Labrador in her because poodles have a real trait in taking away owners' socks and underwear and taking them back to their bed. They've just got this collective behaviour because they're the things that have the most odour of their owners. So they want to sort of be with them and have that sort of safe feeling that they're with their owners even when they're not.
I thought as much. Yeah, she's definitely more on the poodle rather than Labrador. She has the longer snout and more curly hair,
On the plus side, Shane, at least she doesn't eat them. She just likes collecting them. And, yeah, I agree 100% with what's been said already by Cheryl, that they smell good, you know, and I mean not to us, but, you know, to the dog, they just smell the most like you and the family and particularly if you're not there or they want to be near you when you're not there, then finding something that smells like you is sort of the next best thing to do.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I thought as much, but you've just reinforced that. But she likes brand new socks better than any.
Okay, maybe they're softer. maybe buy a repair.
New, I mean, after you've worn them.
Yeah, wear a pair, put them in a bed, and hopefully she won't steal anymore.
If only it was that simple, Amanda. look, Shane, as long as she's not eating them, I think it's probably fairly harmless, and I guess at least you know where your spare socks will end up.
Thank you.
See you later.
Thanks very much, Shane. Thanks for the call. Okay, next we have Sam from Singleton. Hi, Sam. How can we help you?
Hi. I've just got concerns for my little 3.5-year-old Cavoodle.
Yes.
To sex female, but she does what I have looked up as a reverse sneeze.
Okay.
Now, do you know the term reverse sneeze?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Oh, great. Fantastic. Yeah, so it's just my concern. She doesn't do it a lot.
Okay.
But when she does do it, it can sort of be a little bit, you get a bit of a fright, and I sort of just try and keep her mouth closed and put a finger over one of her nostrils. I don't know if that's correct, but I suppose I'm just wanting to know, should I be concerned? What should I do?
Yeah, okay. So how often would you say it's happening?
Oh, look, it could happen once a month, twice a month. So, yeah, it's not a weekly occurrence.
Okay.
But she does do it.
Okay. A couple of comments. Yes, reverse sneezing is a thing. It is off. It's basically the orientation of the epiglottis at the back of the mouth and the soft palate, which is also at the back of the mouth. And if they're sitting in a certain orientation, they don't reverse sneeze. If they sit in the opposite orientation, they do reverse sneeze.
Right,
it's basically the body's way of trying to reorient it correctly. Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's not painful. It's not stressful. It is totally self-limiting. By swallowing, the dog will sort itself out. Okay.
So it's not an airway problem or anything like that?
If it was really severe, look, I can't, in 20 years of being a vet, I can't think of a situation in which case it's become a surgical matter. Particularly at the frequency that you're talking about, Sam. My dog used to do it, for example, almost every evening when I'd tell her to get off her bed and go outside. It was almost like she got a fright and would do a couple of reverse sneezes and then would be fine.
What should I do? What did you do with your dog? Should I be holding her mouth, or like putting my finger inside her mouth to make her open her mouth to take a breath, or just let her go through the reverse sneeze and
let it
work itself.
You won't like my answer, Sam. I do nothing.
Sure. Okay. No, that's I'm happy with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it sounds horrendous and it sounds scary and they look like they're trying to asphyxiate themselves, but it will resolve itself.
Okay. No, that's fantastic. I listen to your program every week and I thought today I'm just going to ring up.
Good on you.
She did it two nights ago and I thought she must have guts down her dinner. Because she sort of did it straight after she'd finished eating. But I thought, no, I'm just going to put my, peace of mind more than anything. So thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's all right. Look, it's quite confronting to listen to, but it is very much self-limiting. And if there's by swallowing, they will sort themselves out. So I guess if it was going on for, 10 or 20 times, for example, you could probably get something that smelt really good and put it up to their nose and that might sort of, trigger a swallowing reflex or something. But I've never had to resort to anything like that, Sam.
And we're going to check out our pets of the week. So if you go to our website, 2nurfm.com.au, and click on the lifestyle programs, you'll find Pet Chat, and then you will find our pets of the week. And this week we're going to start with Russ. Russ is an Australian cattle dog and looks very cute.
Yeah, look, Russ's profile, if he was on some kind of match up a person and a dog, I reckon his profile's fantastic. 5-year-old cattle dog. He looks very smart, as you would fully expect from a cattle dog. Has mastered the doggy door, can sit and shake, rolls on his back, loves his people, loves walks. Seems very curious around the world of the world around him. Likes treats, has a big tail wag and a lovely big smile, as we were talking about earlier. but yeah, he sounds like a really good match for someone who probably has a bit of dog experience, just being a larger and a sort of stronger type dog. Someone who's going to continue Russ's training. But from his dating profile, I reckon he's a pretty good match for someone.
Now you get 2-for-1 with Fox and Panda, the cats.
Yeah, Fox and Panda, two bonded brothers. So they're cats that come as a pair, basically. So they like being together. They'll groom each other, spend time side by side, and enjoy exploring the world together. Double the love, as they say. So we've got cuddles. One of them's more cuddly and one of them's more active. So Panda's the more active, playful one.
And that's probably why the picture is just a picture of Panda's back, because
no one could catch him. He was moving too quickly. So in a way, a perfect match, because you've got one who's really engaging and interactive, and Fox, who's the more lounge lizard, up for a cuddle. So it's kind of 2 for the price of 1 and the best of both worlds for those two. And they're very cute too. They do look quite different. One's ginger, one's black and white, but they're pretty cute as well.
They're beautiful. Mm. Well, we are out of time. And if you want to check out those pets of the week, 2nurfm.com.au is the place to go.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.